Here, the old gods are dead.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I like that we're giggling. It's a good day.
The last like 10 episodes that we've done have just begun in giggling.
Yeah,
like the podcast has just got less and less serious as we went on.
Yeah, but it's just I feel like I never know because like there's a 5 second countdown before it starts recording, but then we also need 5 seconds of silence, and I never know if they're the same 5 seconds, so that I'm just like waiting for you to tell me if it's 5 seconds.
Honestly, I can't even remember anymore. Sometimes the audio is good, sometimes it's bad, and it might be because we've now stuck to the full 10 seconds, they just staring at each other really awkwardly.
Yeah.
Everybody, like, picture in their heads, like, when me and Liam go to record this, we're on, like, it's a Zoom call for podcasts, and yeah, it looks like every horror film for like 2010 when it was all MSN kind of horror films.
Those are good, actually. I think it's a really good setup. They're not scary, but they have that good comedy element that a good horror movie has.
Have you not noticed a lot of films like in the last like 2 or 3 years have started putting like TikTok videos into the film?
Yeah, Scream. Every
No Hard Feelings.
Every new Scream. No Hard Feelings.
Best Picture winner this year. No Hard Feelings.
The new, for real, when she got kicked in the vagina. That's the funniest thing I've ever seen. And then, no, she kicks a girl in the vagina. This is a spoiler kind of, but not really. And then, but she's naked. She's skinny dipping on the beach. They steal their clothes. She kicks a girl in the vagina to get her clothes back. And then the girl who has fallen over punches her in her naked vagina.
We need more cunt punts on film.
We need more cunt punts. Let's talk about that.
No Hard Feelings is genuinely, No Hard Feelings and Scream 6. In that exact order, the best films of the year. And then it's Barbie.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
All then, very close, though.
And the new Insidious is actually not bad. TikTok scene. Has a TikTok scene.
Well, Insidious have that Catholic Church money, so they're well-funded.
I thought that was just,
it's not Catholic Church, but wait, well, they're, the guy that directs the Insidious films and the people who write the Insidious films are all, like, crazy American Baptists, and it's like funded by mega churches in the United States. Like, that's fact. And it might be bullshit actually, but I will continue to spread it.
Also, there's a new nun movie coming out next month in a couple days.
Is it a horror nun film or a lesbian nun film? That's like the two genres.
No, like the nun. Like the nun.
Oh,
two.
Like the nun.
Electric Boogaloo. Yes. Like Nun 2.
I love Nun. I love how there's three kinds of nun film. There's sister act, there's lesbian nun, and then there's scary nun.
Dead ass. And that's it.
And that is it.
And all three of them, American Horror Story.
Yep.
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 They were real for that, actually. They had a sexy, lesbian, goofy, possessed nun, and that was real.
Asylum and Coven was the best time in my life.
The like back-to-back Asylum Coven freak show was like, I can't even wrap my head around how good I was being fed.
Because we obviously were mutuals on Tumblr at this point, so many were aware that I was obsessed with Fleetwood Mac, and then Coven came out, and Stevie was in Coven, and I was like, look, I can't have said this before, but it's really hard not to think that the world does not revolve around me and my interests.
Well, like, so obviously I knew that Ryan Murphy and Stevie Nicks were close because of the Rumours episode of Glee. And like, they collaborated on how to work the songs in for that, and she gave her approval of their use and stuff. And then when they started with the Misty Day storyline on Coven, I was like, I wonder if Stevie will, because like, obviously Stevie is like that Gemini crazy person, dabbles in like spirituality, and I was like, what if she actually appears? Because she was doing like little acting stints, and she was like so invested in Twilight, and I was like, what if? And then when do the Seven Wonders, oh my god, best day of my life.
Her being at the bottom of the stairs like Jack is on Titanic,
my god. My god, mind-blowing. That is television. They don't do it like
that's that. Cinema, baby. That is cinema, like, baby.
That. Wow. Anyway, 5 minutes in, and all we've spoken about is Cunt Punts and American Horror Story.
Wow. This is going to be a creepy wee podcast all time, I think.
The girls who get it, get it. And that's that. Oh, I have notes. So I was in London again. Look at me, metropolitan.
Some
girl.
Of us didn't make it to London.
I know, and we were going for different reasons. But I had such a strange time. It was probably one of the best holidays I've ever gone on, just for the fact that it was like, it was almost like it was my wedding. So Arca was playing. Arca was playing. First of all, best performance I've ever seen, ever, full stop. And there were so many audio issues. At one point, she forgot to plug her microphone pack in, and she was yelling at the back. And then she's like, oh, wait, that time it was me. I forgot to plug it in. But she is a really good performer, really funny, great stage presence, great, like, just, and her vocals are better than they used to be. I'll give her her flowers for working on her vocals. But yeah, so I knew so many people, and I ended up going to this, like, reconverted warehouse flat party the day before the festival I was supposed to go to. When I tell you, most insufferable crowd I could ever have imagined. So we start out, and like, Ben is like a fashion florist. That's how we got there, because my friend Ben was his friend was invited. And we were all like, just say, can we all go? And he was like, sure. So like, seven people were plus one onto a plus one. Much to probably my regret, because it was like so interesting. But we all had like such elaborate background stories of like who we were and what we did. So I was an Itala disco producer. And then
you made up shit when you were at the party.
Yeah.
Oh my god, love.
So, and then Agne, who is Nerys' friend / my friend, was a Gucci model, because she has that like alien, vacant alien vibe. And then we had two ideas of what Nerys would be. The first one was he was like the number one pro skateboarder in Lithuania. But then we were like, that one's too hard to manage. Because like, for mine and Agne's, it's like, oh, sorry, no, I don't want to talk about business today. Because obviously there was going to be insufferable people if they believed us.
Yeah.
So we were like, oh, I don't want to talk about that today. So the backup for Nerys was that he was Mark Zuckerberg's nephew. And honestly, it kind of like believable. And then also we just made sure that it was known that he was like estranged.
To be honest, if you're in London and you are saying things like that, that are like, would be outlandish and unbelievable in like a flat party in Glasgow.
Yeah.
If you say them in London, if you say them as absurd shite, it is very believable, because
yeah,
like, my family in London, my cousin, his pal, that's David Schwimmer's niece, for real.
For real.
Aye, and then my uncle that lives in London, he used to walk Kevin Spacey's dog.
No.
Yeah, it used to kind of be a flex, and then everything happened.
And then
he doesn't
like...
talk about it anymore. Aye, the fact that it was like pals with Kevin Spacey, because he's like, he used to make jewelry, and he used to like do like design for bars and stuff, and he made a bar for Kevin Spacey to put in his like one of his properties in London.
Oh.
And it like used to be like a flex, and like,
and now it's like,
no, it is definitely not.
It's like horrible. Oh my god!
But like, it sounds like I've made that up. This uncle was also on Dragon's Den.
That's the bit I don't believe.
He was. They slagged him to absolute fuck.
What was he selling?
His jewellery. He used to have a jewellery company in London, but he used to do like new, it's like kind of standard stuff where it's like flat multi-tools that you could put in your wallet, or he did multi-tools that were like on necklaces and stuff. And loads of folk have just stolen his idea. But he was doing this in like the early 2000s. He actually made the jewelry that the Spice Girls wore for their Pepsi Super Bowl ad.
No.
Yeah, and he designed this trophy for Robot Wars when it was originally on air.
How have you never told me about this before?
It's my Uncle William. He's like Willy Wonka.
And his name's William. He's for real Willy Wonka.
Anyway, so to go back to your story.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, so if you're making stuff up in London, you can get away with a lot, apparently.
Yeah. And you can also get away with hostage situations, apparently, because we were at this party and it was like, oh, we're going to have a rooftop party and we're going to have the decks outside. No one said anything about a live band. No one said anything about a live band at any point. Did anyone? Because I would have been like, no. We got there. It was raining. So they were like, we have to do it inside. And they had neighbors. This was insane. So the door was open and people could go upstairs outside because people were smoking, obviously, because it was like artsy people. There was like a band. They were Australian. And it was like...
Is it like the scene in Barbie where all the Kens are singing?
Yes, it was. But it was worse. It was so much worse. Everyone was stuck in this tiny room. I could feel the sweat swamp ass would be an understatement. That was like a tar pit, honey. Like there were mammoths found there afterwards. It was bad for me, but it was so horrible because everyone clearly didn't want to be stuck in that room with this band playing. And they were their friends, and the band lives there, I think. I kind of enjoyed it towards the end, and then he started singing.
Called Stockholm Syndrome, babe.
Yeah, yeah. And then he just, like, kept repeating, like, and I smell. And I was like, why are you telling? I think everyone here does. The heat. Like, did you not think, maybe open a window? It was crazy. But people were smoking inside the flat. And like putting the, not like people smoke inside all the time, but they were putting the cigarettes out like you would put them out outside under your foot on the ground.
On the floor. This should be an episode of I Survived.
For real. There was also like one of the people who lived there was a tattoo artist, and he actually had like quite a cool thing. He had a crown that he had made of like used needles, which I'm pretty sure is not allowed. And I went to go touch it, not knowing it was used needles. He's like, don't do that.
Oh my God. I'm not being funny, but this sounds like it could have been like in an episode of Girls.
It felt like an episode of Girls. I was so drunk. Jesus, and then we actually Christ. Did end up
If we ever write a sketch show.
This is making it in. This is a whole episode. And then like the parallel is like you like making your little espresso martini at home or something, like having Code United.
the parallel of you going to what I can only assume is a total crackdown to listen to, be held in a hostage situation by a live band, and at the exact same time in Edinburgh I am being spiked.
Oh yeah,
and missing my flight to London because I've been spiked.
Oh my god, it was the same day.
Yeah. We were in hell last Friday.
We were in the pits.
Like the absolute horrors.
Oh my God, that's so bad.
No, I got spiked and my girlfriend was on the phone to her mum because her mum's a nurse and she was like, I think Rebecca's been spiked, and her mum was like trying to calm her down because obviously Nomi was being traumatised to like the ninth degree, and her mum was like, no, she's probably totally fine, like she's probably just like maybe had like one too many drinks and no ate enough, and then like Nomi like looks down at me and my eyes are literally rolling back at my skull. Obviously,
you're
like
you're gonna die in 7 days.
Literally, like I have no clear memory of happening to me. And obviously, it was like I was so pissed off that I had like this event had like ruined my trip to London. But I can laugh about it now.
Enough time has passed.
Enough time, to, like a week and a half has passed. I can laugh about it now. Anyway, should we get into this episode?
Yeah, after 20 minutes.
After it hits the 20-minute mark, I'm like, maybe.
No,
we'll take a wee break and then we'll talk about Woolvers.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So breaking news on the Nessie front. Breaking news. So if anyone knows Pop Crave Twitter, they covered the most recent Nessie hunt, which is like a annual event where people, professionals in the business, in the cryptid business, go and try and find Nessie like once a year.
But this one was the biggest of the big. Well-established journalism out Popcrave on Twitter. Real ones understand.
Trump was arrested. Popcrave.
Yeah, I find it most of my news via Popcrave, which says a lot about how seriously I take journalism now as a student of journalism. But no, they've just tweeted, attendees of this weekend's Loch Ness Monster Hunt in Scotland, the largest in decades, went home disappointed as the mythical creature was nowhere to be seen. Despite the failed discovery of Nessie, hunters claim to have heard 4 distinctive noises during their investigation in the Scottish Highlands. Okay, 4 distinctive noises. I'm hearing Nikki, Madonna, Arthur, Charlie.
I'm hearing
Can we get a burp in there perhaps?
If I had only recorded the Homer Simpson burp. Go back to earlier, pick out when I did the Homer Simpson burp and then replace it in here.
Alternatively, we could hear a really long comedic door creak. A fart, your
cricket
Homer Simpson
noise.
Burp, and then crickets. That's called improv, baby. Anyway. Haven't they already, like, said that it's probably just a sturgeon? Which is obviously a very, very fucking large fish, but still.
Huge day for Nicola.
That's what she's been doing since she...
That's where all the money's gone.
Actually, Nicola Sturgeon laundered money to get a submarine and hide it underneath Loch Ness. So, we're going to be talking about the Woolver, kind of like Scottish folklore's equivalent to some sort of lycanthrope or werewolf. Probably a good place to start would be to actually go through a history of werewolves, because it's not actually clear when or where the werewolf legend originated. Like, some scholars believe that the werewolf made its debut in the epic Gilgamesh, which is the oldest known Western prose, when Gilgamesh jilted a potential lover because she had turned her previous mate into a wolf. It's kind of like dragons as well. Werewolves and lycanthropes appear like through every culture of the world,
yeah.
And it's kind of the same for wolves. Werewolves made an early appearance in Greek mythology with the legend of Lycaon. According to the legend, Lycaon, the son of Peliscus, angered the god Zeus when he served him a meal made of the remains of a sacrificed boy. As punishment, the enraged Zeus turned Lycaon and his son into wolves. And this is where the word lycanthrope comes from.
Yeah. And like Lyca the dog from space.
Oh, wow.
Maybe.
Oh, it will
Wait,
be.
Maybe.
It will be. I bet Lyca just means dog in Russian.
Probably.
Werewolves also emerged in early Nordic folklore. The Saga of the Volsungs tells the story of a father and son who discovered wolf pelts that had the power to turn people into wolves for 10 days. The father and son duo donned the pelts, transformed into wolves, and went on killing rampages in the forest. The rampage ended when the father attacked his son and caused a lethal wound. The son only survived because a kind raven gave the father a leaf with healing powers. That kind of like donning of an animal's fur and then becoming said animal is kind of similar to like the berserker myths in like Nordic folklore, where it's like men are wearing bear fur and then become like basically bears. By the like medieval period, many so-called werewolves few centuries ago were basically just serial killers, and France has had its fair share. In 1521, a Frenchman called Pierre Bergot and Michel Verdun allegedly swore allegiance to the devil and claimed to have an ointment that turned them into wolves. After confessing to brutally murdering several children, they were both burned to death at the stake, as burning was thought to be one of the few ways that you could kill a werewolf or a witch.
Yeah.
And it's kind of just like that under torture coming up with the most outlandish excuse for why you've actually done something. These guys actually did kill children, but it's kind of that, it's like, oh, it's no because I'm mentally ill, it's because I'm a werewolf, kind of, or it's actually like being applied to them as a way to rationalize the cruelty that they've done. It's like a man couldn't have done this, it had to have been an animal. There was another similar story with a man called Gilles Garnet, known as the Werewolf of Dole, who was another 16th century Frenchman whose claim to fame was also an ointment with wolf morphing abilities. That was mighty morphin' time. According to legend, as a wolf, he viciously killed children and ate them, and he too was burned at the stake for his monstrous crimes. Whether they were mentally ill or acting under the influence of like hallucinogenic substances, like kind of, is it ergo poisoning? It's like a hallucinogen that can happen if you make bread with rotted wheat. Often been applied to why there was a lot of dancing sicknesses in the medieval times, but it's also like, it's up for debate if these people were like genuinely hallucinating or if they were serial killers. But it likely didn't matter to the superstitious Europeans during the 16th century. To them, such heinous crimes could only be committed by a horrific beast such as a werewolf. The Scottish equivalent to the werewolf is much nicer. He's a wee sweet pea, isn't he? The
wolver. So, contrary to popular belief, Scottish werewolves are not hell-bent on terrorizing locals by giving in to their bloodlust. The wolver is a legendary creature native to the Shetland Islands. And while often called a werewolf, the wolver was actually thought by ancient Celts to be its own species, being something between man and wolf, like a Homo erectus kind of vibes. Or is that us? No, we're Homo sapien.
Yeah.
Like, it,
are Homo erectus not the first ones who stood up? Is that not the point?
That would make sense. Aren't we all just Homo erectus?
I know this is an audio format, but my eyes nearly rolled out of my fucking head.
So Jane Saxby, an author and folklorist from Ernst, one of the Shetland Islands.
They actually invented drum and bass there. When we ditch the fucking history and folklore and just become a purely purely improv podcast.
I am crying.
So Jane Saxby, an author and folklorist from the Shetland Islands, who collected local folklore about the Wolver in her 1932 book, Shetland Traditional Lore. She noted that the Wolver was described as being covered with short brown hair, with the body of the man and the head of a wolf. Unlike the typical werewolf, the Wolver could not shapeshift and was considered a gentle and kind-hearted being.
Aww.
To help you cut the grass, help you do the dishes.
He literally does. That is what he does.
It was a solitary creature who lived in a cave dug out of a steep hill and showed no aggression towards humans as long as he was left alone.
You.
Real. However, interacted occasionally with people and has known to be generous and helpful, particularly to those who were lost. Also me, because that time I helped that woman find...
You're looking at it.
You're looking at it. There are stories of the Wolver guiding lost travellers to nearby villages and towns. The Wolver was often seen fishing by local residents. You can see how it's easy to build a fursona around this. Homestead-friendly creature.
I was just going to say Scottish this is tartan, very cottagecore.
Fishing by a creek. So it was often seen fishing by local residents for its daily meal. So it was a pescatarian. And it would just sit by a small rock all day by a small body of water that they called Wolver's Stain. There were accounts of it leaving a supply of fish on the windowsills of poor families. Literally, Father Christmas. Like, this is... Like, you have Krampus, you have Santa Claus, and you have the Wolver. They're all the same vibe. Yeah. And it's also said that the Wolver could be a compassionate and, like... loving friend sitting by the side of the mournful or by the home of an ill person to give them comfort in their times of need.
Aww.
So according to reports, the Wolver was spotted regularly around Shetland up to the start of the 20th century. And it has been speculated that folklore surrounding the Wolver may have been based on a real human being with a medical condition, hypertrichosis, or like werewolf syndrome. I feel like there was a Channel 4 documentary on a guy with that.
Yeah.
Like, you know how there was the Elephant Man? It was like,
oh, I remember that.
Theory.
I remember when Channel 4 was all about exploiting those kinds of people.
So basically just someone who has extra hair growth and from areas that it doesn't normally get that long.
Yeah.
But there is also another belief that the Wolver is some sort of immortal spirit that exists on the Shetland Islands, watching over the lost and the poor. And forever helping those in need.
Oh.
Just a friend.
I like that because normally like Scottish folklore is kind of like, someone's going to get you. Actually, 99%. This is the 1% where it's not. Even the Brunei, where it's like nice. It's nice until you like day something wrong and then it's vicious.
But yeah, the Wolver is like a single mom who works.
So there is a similar creature in Irish folklore. Similar to the Scottish Wolver, the Irish werewolf or the Fela differed from the typical depictions of the Manichean werewolf stories that we think of. And the Fela creature, like the Wolver, was a creature of good. While there is no wolves in Ireland today and Scotland, the last reported one in Ireland was killed in 1786. Wolves were at one time an important part of the Irish countryside. I do believe that Scotland is considering rewilding parts of the Highlands with wolves because obviously they are an important part of the ecosystem. It's kind of similar to like what they've done in like Yellowstone National Park in America. Like at one point in the 30s, they got rid of all the wolves, and then in the 90s and into the like most recent years, have managed to get a whole pack of wolves back into Yellowstone, and it's been unbelievably beneficial for the area.
Yeah, because they were like a really big part of the ecosystem. Yeah, they were really important, just like beavers, I believe, and otters.
Yeah,
all of which were at one point relatively non-existent. I think otters have been reintroduced, right?
Yeah, beavers as well. And more wildcats. It's basically because wolves are an apex predator, they'll kill bigger animals like deer. And because deers are so big, loads of little creatures can eat upon them, and then insects and then it basically just like regenerates an entire area just by feeding on one animal. Anyway.
Encourages biodiversity.
Yeah. I'm unsure if Ireland are doing a similar thing, but I can imagine it being so. Anyway, at one point, Ireland was even referred to as Wolfland up until the Middle Ages due to the amount of wolves that once roamed there. It is no surprise that then that they were featured prominently in Irish folklore, with stories of people transforming into wolves being a favourite subject and tales that were passed down from generation to generation. Although the Faelus shares the similarity to the werewolf traditions of it being a man or woman that shapeshifts into a wolf, it is often portrayed in stories as a protector or guardian. One such story written by Giraldus Cambrensis in his 12th century work, The Topographia Hibernica, so the topography of Ireland, which provided an account of a priest who was asked by a Faela to administer last rites to his dying mate. The priest was told by the wolf that it was a native of Ossory, and its current wolf form was the result of an ancient curse by Saint Natalis. Every 7 years, a man or woman were exiled from their homes in Ossory and were transformed into wolves. The priest performed the last rites over the gravely ill mate, and the grateful Faela not only thanked him, but also shared its campfire and food for the night and promised to reward the priest when he regained his human form once again.
They're nice.
Yeah.
They're real.
They are nice.
Well, not real.
Well, they are actually a real piece of Irish folklore. However, folklorists and historians argue that the wolver is an entirely fictitious creation that was never part of Shetland's folklore.
Yeah.
Contending that the creature is solely the creation of Saxby, the folklorist that Liam spoke to.
Yeah.
The proponents of this view argue that Saxby, whether intentionally or in error, misinterpreted the meaning of the name in her sources. In this interpretation, Jacob Jacobson, who is a historian for the Faroe Islands, who we've spoken about before, has mentioned a hill called Wolver's Hull in his writings, stating that it was named after a fairy. Saxby, not understanding the word wolver was derived from an Old Norse word for fairy, accidentally created the wolver as Shetland's own folklore, writing about it as if belief in such a creature had always existed.
My favourite bit is like how people are like, yeah, she might not have done that deliberately. And I'm like, no matter if she understood what she was translating or not, she made up a whole story. Like, she just lied.
This is what you would call invented tradition or fake lore. So this is kind of similar to the tartan. Basically, if you even Google like invented tradition or fake lore and go into Wikipedia, the main picture on that article is a piece of tartan because in the 19th century, I believe after Highland dress had been legalized again because it was made illegal after the Battle of Culloden, totally destroying the Highland identity and basically catalyzing the Highland clearances and the loss of Scottish identity as a whole. When Balmoralism came into play, when Queen Victoria wanked her the Scottish Highlands and built Balmoral, Highland dress became a kind of like over-exaggerated, campified version of what it really is, and tartan,
it grew arms and legs.
Yeah, tartan's
like identity signifiers.
Yeah, so tartan, like great plaids and stuff, have always been a thing in the Highlands and like other islands and stuff, where wool is like a really big industry, and being able to like weave your own. So basically, what happens is, to make a great plaid, you need various kinds of wool, and they would be different colours, and they would all be stitched and threaded together, and there would be variations in the colours, and the different colours would be put into patterns. But when this kind of like over-exaggerated version of the Highland dress became popular, when people like Walter Scott were invited to big parties in Edinburgh and they would dress in this Highland dress, tartan became like really over-exaggerated tartan became a thing. So it would be dyed with like loads of different colours, which were not accessible in the Highlands when plaids were traditionally being made. And then it became this thing where every single main clan in Scotland has their own tartan, and it's like, oh, this is my family's tartan and that's my family's tartan, and like everybody thinks it's this ancient tradition,
but it's not.
No, it's a bit as old as shortbread tins. So it is a tradition in a sense, but it's invented. The Wolver's kind of like a fake lore version of that, where it's somebody's mistranslated something and really ran with it. That's kind of where the story of the Wolver ends. The werewolf phenomena might have a medical explanation, though. Take Peter the Wild Boy, for instance. In 1725, he was found wandering naked on all fours through a German forest, and many thought that he was a werewolf, or at least raised by wolves. So this is kind of like a feral boy.
Yeah.
Peter ate with his hands and could not speak. When he was found, he was probably like 3 or 4, which is surprising enough that he had even lived alone.
That's crazy, actually.
And he was eventually adopted by the courts of King George the First and King George the Second, and he lived his days as their pet in England. Disgusting.
Oh.
Not the first and not the last time that the royal family have done something like that.
Yeah.
But these kind of like feral children kind of cases make, at least at the time, made a case for like people saying that werewolves could be real. Research has actually shown that Peter likely had Pitt-Hopkins syndrome, which is a condition that was discovered in 1978, which causes lack of speech, seizures, distinct facial features, difficulty breathing, and intellectual challenges. Lycanthropy, though, can be explained by an entourage, a medical condition, which have kind of encouraged this werewolf mania. Lycanthropy, a rare physical condition that causes people to believe that they are changing into a wolf or another animal, which is genuine. Food poisoning can also be another explanation. So what we talked about before, like ergo poisoning. Hypertrichosis, which is what Liam spoke about, which is that rare genetic disorder which causes excessive hair growth. Another explanation is rabies, which would obviously causes to not want to drink water, is absolutely repelled by water, is very angry, is very violent.
And obviously if like dogs and stuff have it at the time, and you see dogs having it and then you see a person having it, then you're gonna be like, oh.
So it's kind of like that panic that happens. Another explanation is that it could possibly have been caused by hallucinogenic herbs, which is kind of similar to the what we spoke about earlier with the berserker warriors, who would they would follow deers around and like watch deers eat hallucinogenic herbs, and then they would drink their piss and they would get like the most intense acid trips. Would get the most intense acid trips over this deer piss and would would go into battle absolutely berserk because they were tripping out their nut. And that is another explanation people thinking that they're werewolves, because like these warriors would show exceedingly crazy strength and fearlessness, and it was because they were tweaking. It was like bath salts.
No, because imagine like Saxby just like she took shrooms and then just wrote a book about folklore while she was on shrooms. And she was just like sitting next to him. He's like, this guy's all right. And then wrote about this like werewolf that gives her like fish.
It was just a guy who felt really sorry for her. It was her trip, sir. Anyway.
God bless.
So that is a lesson into the pitfalls that you could fall into if you believe everything you hear on TikTok, because I've seen quite a few videos of people talking about the Wolver and no looking at the bottom of the Wikipedia article, just looking at the synopsis and making a quick video about it.
I mean, to be fair, you should put a disclaimer at the start.
There should be a disclaimer at the start of every TikTok video, in my opinion. Anyway, this has been the Creepy Wee Podcast. If you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Instagram at the Creepy Wee Podcast, Twitter at the Creepy Wee Pod, and our website is thecreepyweepodcast.co.uk. Thanks. Bye.
There's a she-wolf.
I knew it.
Finishing there because we can't afford to buy the song.